Susan, Butcher Box to the rescue. The other night we had some friends over for dinner and we had no idea what to make. And I was like, guess what? We have a freezer full of meat. So my husband went down and thawed out some chicken from Butcher Box and made the best coq au vin that we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, you'd have been screwed without Butcher Box because I know you ain't got no time to go to the store right now.
That's true. I don't have time to go shop for meat or pick out the meat or find the best quality, low-priced meat. So ButcherBox does all of that for me.
So, true story, my husband's workplace has a Slack channel called Smoked Meats. And I know you can't like win a workplace conversation, but he is now because with Butcher Box, his great cuts of meat to the door, they can cook up and take photos of for his workmates.
I love ButcherBox, and I think other people would too.
ButcherBox is the ultimate convenience, delivered right to your doorstep, free shipping always, with curated, customized box plans.
It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork, raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood.
There are a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value with exclusive membership deals. They also provide recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks.
Sign up at butcherbox.com/proof and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off.
Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/proof and use code PROOF to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Sidebar. We're here to discuss episode 11 of season 2 of Proof. Jacinda and Kevin are here to talk about this week's episode and how much Jacinda and I suck.
How much you suck.
I'm here because I'm an expert on the two of you being incompetent. Let's put it that way. So I'm happy to take part in this particular sidebar.
I knew you'd be glad to be here. I just want to clarify something, though. When we had our stakeout at Ray Gowan's house, we were not actually planning on a stakeout. I would like to believe that we would have planned better had we known. But in our heads, our goal was to, like, you know, show up, knock on the door, he'd answer. It just didn't work out that way.
Basically, what you guys are saying is you're not normally unprepared. And I, having been in the field with the two of you, I beg to differ with that premise, but we'll go with that. So
we also, the first time we started the stakeout, quote unquote, we realized like a half hour in, we were parked the wrong direction and in a no parking zone and had our headlights on.
It was a rental car. We couldn't quite figure out how to turn off the headlights. And yeah, it was a mess. But typically, we always are better prepared. Like, we always have Slim Jims in the car or something.
Yeah, usually.
I will concede you guys usually are better prepared because when I'm with you in the field, usually every 10 minutes, you're like, oh, we should stop and get more Slim Jims. We should stop and get licorice or whatever. I'm like, are we ever going to do any work?
I was also reminded a lot during our stakeout about a, you know what? I'm not going to use any names here. I'm just going to share a story about a nameless FBI agent. Jacinda is talking to an FBI agent who pulls out a big old mug, like a big old, like, you know, coffee or something.
Remember this? Yeah.
And Jacinda, you should tell the story from here.
Well, if it's what I'm thinking of, he pulls out this big old mug and says, I just want to show you this. This is what I used to use on stakeouts when I needed to pee. So we did not have a pee cup with us.
I know. We really were not prepared. Anyway, we did not talk to Ray. It was not, we were hoping to. We're hopeful that if we showed up, we could explain ourselves. I usually can like pass a card off, and that was not a chance for this one.
Yeah, he didn't even want to know who we were, which is sort of unusual. And we didn't get a chance to give him our names or anything, but I don't think it's an indication of anything more than he just doesn't want to talk about it anymore.
I mean, the Ray thing is a lot like Robbie and a lot like other people. There are so many people who don't want to talk, who at some level were traumatized by this, right? And we don't know what happened with them. And it's...
We do know he spent 6 months in jail facing life in prison. So, yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
He probably never wants to talk about it ever again, you know? And clearly that didn't sit well with Jake.
No, Jake was upset by it. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, they dropped the charges, but it doesn't mean that they dropped them in a way that...
We don't know the story there. We don't know what exactly happened. We have theories, we wonder, but like, we don't actually know how that played out.
But I think what I was thinking in my head, we've talked to a lot of people who think that they found DNA, who think Jake and Ty are guilty. And I wonder, does Ray think that too? You know, like, even though he himself, you know, knows he wasn't involved, was he somehow convinced that Jake and Ty were, like Robbie? Yeah. Does Robbie think Jake and Ty are actually guilty? And
I see that with Robbie, that makes more sense. Like, he told us he doesn't know. Ray should have a pretty good idea that Jake is innocent, just because he was with them and saw like most of the events unfold after Renee did not show up again after Labor Ready. So he at least knows that Jake would be telling the truth about this stuff, like a large part of the story. It doesn't mean he knows everything, but...
Right, unless he thinks it happened on a night that like Jake crashed at his dad's house, right? I just don't know.
That is possible. There are definitely a couple nights in there when they were separated. So he might still wonder, but he has to know the case itself was bullshit.
But maybe he doesn't, right? And it's just like he was a kid and he got caught up in the hurricane and maybe he just doesn't want to talk about the damn thing ever again. And he's probably just scared of the whole thing.
We also heard more about our investigation of Manteca and some of the struggles and failures along the way. And I think sort of the theme is that witnesses are hard to talk to sometimes, but they have a lot of reasons for not wanting to talk. Like, a witness not wanting to talk does not signify any one thing. And I think guilt should be like the last thing it should be assumed to be an indicator of. Because like, there are literally hundreds of reasons why witnesses are reluctant or don't want to talk. And we encountered probably like 90% of those on this trip.
Yeah, one trip was our strikeout after strikeout. But yeah, I 100% agree. Someone not talking does not in any way suggest guilt.
It might indicate something, but it's not necessarily guilt by any means.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we're told, like, if you get arrested for something and don't talk, right? Ask for a lawyer, don't talk. That doesn't mean you're guilty. It means you know your rights, right?
We've also talked to enough witnesses who initially didn't talk, or we later find out their reasons for not talking. And most of the time, they're just pretty boring.
The one thing that stands out to me about this case, and there are a lot of people that you try to sort of track down out there who don't want to talk. And two things struck me. One is so many people there have been traumatized by this story in one way or another, either from being directly involved to potentially being suspects in their own right at some point through the eyes of the police. And then the other thing is that this case has taken on such a life of its own in the world of sort of rumor and speculation in that town that everybody talks about it in sort of hushed tones because everybody just has this theory about what may have happened. And it just seems to hang over certain people who are peripherally connected to it. They just think they're just tired of the sort of dark nature of it to a certain degree. You know, like in Rome, like we spent a lot of time in Rome and there seemed to be fewer people willing to talk in Manteca than there were in Rome.
Yeah, I would agree with that. At first, I thought people maybe were not wanting to talk out of respect to Renee's family, right? If everyone believed at some point, even with the rumors and the hearsay and all everything going on, that there must have been something, there must have been some kind of evidence to prove that Jake and Ty were guilty. I thought maybe people didn't want to talk to us out of respect to Renee's family. But even after we would say, like, we've spoken to her mom, we've spoken to her friends, like, even then people were like, well, no, still, I don't want to talk to you.
Luckily, a lot of people in Manteca do want to know what the hell actually happened here and have gone out of their way to be available and to talk to us.
And the good news is if anyone is listening and changes their mind and wants to talk to us, there's still time. So send us an email or give us a call.
I'm just saying, I know for a fact that the few witnesses who did not talk to us are listening to the podcast and following it pretty closely. So shout out to you. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. So with all those caveats about how witnesses that don't talk shouldn't be assumed to have any significance beyond there's some personal reason that makes them not want to talk. I do think the fact that Robbie Mendoza, Jake's best friend and Ty's nephew, didn't want to talk to us is in fact strange. And it's probably the only one that I've really been taken aback by.
Because Ty's his uncle.
Yeah, Ty's his uncle. Jake was his best friend. He was not charged. Unlike Ray, he was not personally involved. I mean, yes, Josh Burroughs does say he was involved, but they never charged him and never treated him like a suspect. So given that he has the personal connection to both defendants and a family connection from a family that is strongly encouraging him to be available, I do wonder. I don't think at all he was involved in the murder in any way. But, you know, maybe he just doesn't like talking about it, doesn't really give a shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he just has conveyed to, you know, that he just doesn't want to talk about it. Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. And maybe that's all there is to it. I mean, you know, there's not necessarily anything to read into that.
And we had been both wondering, like, maybe he really thinks they're guilty, so he's not going to talk about it because he's like, they're guilty. Why would I get involved? And I did not come away thinking, like, he thinks they're guilty. Like, he was definitely open to the idea they weren't. But it's like, well, that, you know, that is what it is. So be it. If they're not.
As I was saying earlier, I just think that this story has scarred lots of people in different ways.
Yeah. And for all we know, it could be true for Robbie, too. We just don't know.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
So there was one person in episode 11 who we talked to, and we went into the interview not really expecting to gain much from it. And that is our interview with the plumber.
Yeah. He is still a construction worker. We met him at a construction site. So like middle of all the construction, we sit at his truck and talk to him for a while. Like he did not want to talk to us. He was extremely angry at us, but like he gave us his time. He did talk to us for as long as needed. He didn't even know Jake's name. He had no idea about the case at all. He just knew the boyfriend was arrested for it. That's what he's fixated on.
Yeah, he very much believes, for whatever reasons, that they solved it. The guys they convicted are guilty. Leave it alone. But at the same time, he provided information that you point out, Susan, in the show that is actually kind of proof that Jake's not guilty.
If what he remembers is accurate and it means what we think it means, it would mean that Renee's body could only have been placed there after close of work on Friday afternoon. And Jake's alibi is pretty well accounted for, actually, after that point. He was partying a lot of kids were around him. Like Friday night, he was at an actual party, like a planned event thing at the billiards place in town. So there were a ton of people who are on the record telling cops they saw him like playing pool at certain times, like all through the night. Friday night, Jake can't be anywhere else. Same for Saturday, really. And Sunday, we know for a fact he wasn't around. So yeah, if what the plumber recalls is right, and Jake couldn't have done it.
Right. It still leaves a lot of questions unanswered, right? So where was she Monday through Friday?
And it's only one witness. Like, I never want to place any undue weight on a single witness. So I would not say it definitively means that she was not there till Friday. But we have tried and tried and failed to find another explanation for what he says.
Yeah, and unfortunately, none of the other construction workers that we have files for confirm or refute what he's saying about the insulation pile moving.
Yeah. All the workers they talked to back then all said, oh, that pile of insulation has been there for at least a week or two. But at the same time, he's the only one who had like a reason to notice if it moved 4 feet. Everyone else would see like the pile is basically in the same spot. He's the one guy whose work's getting screwed up because this pile is suddenly 4 feet over for mysterious reasons.
Right. So they all say, yeah, that pile's been there. It's been there for a couple weeks. It's the detail of whether or not the pile has moved. And his memory is that it moved. And at the time, he also said it moved.
Yeah. His story is very much unchanged. And he did speak to both the detectives and the defense. Now, when he spoke to the detectives, like on the morning she's found, it's possible that they were not so interested in him because they assumed that what he was saying was not disputed. They quickly concluded she'd only been placed there over the weekend. They start off requesting tapes from only Saturday onwards. Like, it's possible they didn't try and verify a story because they just assumed that obviously she's only there for a couple days. But the defense does call him after the arrest, and he tells them the exact same story. And for some reason, that's the end of it. I don't know why. I don't know if there was like a strategic reason for that, or if they just, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it was very important and they could have used that as part of a defense, but for whatever reason, it was not.
Yeah, that is surprising. I'd love to know why they didn't use him. What's interesting, another person we tried to reach and couldn't is Jeremy Ward, who is someone who came forward and said that Jake and Renee were in his car. He gave them a ride. And that story, along with the plumber story, could definitely have swayed the detectives, everyone, to think that it must have happened between Friday and when they found her on Monday.
Yeah, it'll definitely explain why they were just not even paying attention to Labor Ready or what happened before that, because the first people they're talking to leave them thinking that, okay, whatever happened to her happened after Friday.
Yeah.
And maybe it did, but also it's the timeline from before that matters a lot too.
I found the plumber to be just incredibly compelling. He remembers this specific fact, and in many ways, it's the most definitive thing I've heard about the case yet. So it stood out for me when you called me about it, and stands out in the episode because it's a moment that you finally feel certainty in what's a very confusing case.
And you didn't have to endure him yelling at you for half an hour.
Yeah, there's that too. There's that upside. Yeah.
Finally, in this episode, we also heard from the witness that we call Kelly. She was not someone ever in the witness files at all. Not someone that we had any plans or ideas we needed to talk to. We ran into her one night in Manteca. As you heard in the show, when she found out we were there, she had a very strong reaction.
Yeah, I mean, she's not even someone we knew about. We just literally met her one evening to start talking about what we were doing in town. And Susan, you described it in the episode, you know, she looked like she'd seen a ghost. And that's what it was. It was almost a physical reaction. Like, she looked like the wind had been knocked out of her. She turned pale. And she said, I don't think they did it. Or she says, I know they didn't do it.
She didn't know why we were looking into it. For all she knew, we were like just, you know, doing a regular true crime show. And she's like, the ones in prison didn't do it.
Yeah, right. We didn't say why we were there or what our angle was.
We just said the case we're looking into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like a lot of people, like everyone at Manteca, she's heard rumors. But the difference for her is that it wasn't just all rumors she was hearing. Like, parts of it she lived and saw herself when she went to the house on Pistana Avenue and talked to one of the sisters, the younger sister, Jamie, who she knew the best out of that group. And what she recalls and what we found credible in her retelling is that there was a time she confronted Jamie and said, look, I heard the story about you were somehow involved in what happened to that girl at Home Depot. Like, what the hell's going on? And Jamie's reaction alarmed her because, like, she thought it would be like, what are you talking about? Of course that didn't happen. Like, haha, that's ridiculous. And it wasn't that. And then finally, when Kelly confronted her with something that the guy recalling the source told her, what the source told her was the friends are involved. But when she's like, you're full of shit, like, what the fuck are you talking about? He says, go ask them yourself. Ask her what they did to the girl's backpack and shoes. According to Kelly, Jamie's response is burnt it in the barbecue pit.
Yeah, I mean, that's her story. That's how she remembers it. She believes it. We have no way.
We find Jamie. We tried very hard. Yeah. We cannot find her. But also, like, even if we assume it to be true, like, even if we were accepting it as true, the significance is still very much open to interpretation. Like, was Jamie joking? Was Jamie just, like, making up a lie because she's annoyed that her friend could suspect this about her?
Right. Did she say it sarcastically? Like, oh, yeah, right. I burned it. What do you think? Right. Like, we have no idea how she said it, if she said it, why she'd say it. We do know that one of the sisters, when the detectives talked to them, said someone else had been joking around about.
Yeah. Jamie told them, though, so when Jamie was interviewed, according to police reports, she said she had no idea about any of it and didn't know anything about any implications that their house was involved, which would seem to not be true. But, like, that's not, you know, I can see why someone might lie about that.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know if it's true or not, but yeah. So it's a very, I know, Kevin, in the episode you asked us, you know, you talked about our bullshit meter, and we both came away thinking, like, We think she believes this story.
What it means, I don't know.
Yeah, she believes it, but that doesn't mean that it's true. And one of the things that stands out from this story a lot, and I didn't spend nearly as much time in Manteca as the two of you did, but just being around that town, is everyone who talks about it thinks they know exactly what happened. But that simply can't be the case because
they're all over the place.
Yeah. So some of the theories are so vastly different than what someone else suggested. It's just, they're like, well, wait a second. Like, it's so bizarre that there are such distinct visions as what happened, and everyone speaks about them with such certainty. It's not like, oh, this may have happened. I mean,
but I will say the most common and like tightest cluster of rumors do tend to be about the sister's house, the sister story. There's lots of variation there too, but like that's, I would say like that's the largest singular share of rumors.
I mean, my takeaway from that is also that it's the thing that people would gossip about most, in the sense that you get around the most, and just the way that people in the circle would talk and in that town. But
I will also say that I am pretty certain, like in my memory, the phrase about drug use that Kelly used, I swear it was not tripping balls. Like, it wasn't burning balls either. It was not a phrase I've ever heard. So that's still a mystery that we have not solved yet.
We'll never know.
I'm just going to call drug use burning balls from now on, though.
Another aside for the listeners about this show is, if I get like one more message from Jacinda about like, have you ever heard this phrase before? Related to this story, like, I'll just get these random texts like, have you ever heard of this phrase before? It's like, have you guys ever heard of Google? Like, just look it up.
Oh, but there's some things I don't want to Google because I don't need
it. Right. You don't want to Google. You want me to Google.
You'd rather have Kevin judge you than Google.
I would rather have Kevin judge me than my Google search. Yeah.
If I ever get charged for a murder, I'm getting convicted from Google searches alone.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
The thing about the rumors about the sister's house and people remembering or knowing little bits of it, what that means for us is that we can't just cross it off our list. We have to keep on digging and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. It's good and bad. It's good in that like it gives us a lot of stuff to work with. Like, we've definitely had a lot of leads tracked down. It's also bad in that like there are a lot of fucking leads to try and track down.
There's a lot happening in the story now. The next few episodes will be intense stuff.
Because next week we're talking to Josh Burrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that, so I'm just going to like let it be. Y'all can hear it for yourself.
It'll be interesting, that's for sure.
So tune in on Monday for episode 12 and hear about our interviews with Josh Burrows.
You've been listening to Proof Sidebar, a podcast by Red Marble Media in association with Glass Box Media. Send us your questions and comments at proofcrimepod@gmail.com. Follow us everywhere with the handle @proofcrimepod and on our website, proofcrimepod.com. Regular episodes drop on Mondays, and you can find sidebars on Thursdays. Thanks so much for listening.